Now, the rest of the story. Young Felix Mendelssohn had it made. He had written a symphony, a number of string quartets, four operas. He was hailed as a mature composer whose work demonstrated novelty, beauty, individuality, wit, fluency, control, euphony, unity, and dramatic power. He was a respected orchestral conductor, and he was barely 15. So as I say, as a musician, Felix Mendelssohn was assured of a brilliant future, but this is the rest of the story. Previous year, when Felix was 14, a friend showed him some sheet music. The friend said he'd purchased it from, of all people, a cheese merchant who had found the score someplace, who had been using the sheets for wrapping paper. Well, Felix perused the neglected manuscript, and he was delighted. It ought to be performed, the boy declared, but there was little chance of that. The person who'd written the music had been considered a fine organist in his day, but now, almost three-quarters of a century after his death, he was scarcely regarded as a composer. His music was arithmetical and unintelligible, fit perhaps for wrapping cheese, but little else. So, Felix was enchanted by the old manuscript, so much that he asked his grandmother to have it copied for him as a Christmas present, which she did. And yet years passed. Felix Mendelssohn's star continued to ascend. Age 17, he composed an overture to Shakespeare's Midsummer Night's Dream. Today we'd call it a bullet, a super hit. Mendelssohn, already renowned, was suddenly even more so. And all that time, he never stopped studying the forgotten wrapping paper manuscript. One day he grew determined to perform that music himself. He realized it would be an enormously difficult undertaking. The piece was lengthy. It required a double chorus and a double orchestra. There was risk involved. Felix was quite popular, for now. But he was still young. He was far from invincible. Should he champion the work of a virtually unknown, unpublished composer and fail in the process, might it not cast aspersions upon his musical judgment for the rest of his life? But anyway, during the winter of 1827, Felix organized a small choir. They met in his own home. This was to be the nucleus of performers. They increased in number. An entire year passed. There remained much opposition to Felix's folly, but he coerced and convinced the right people and ultimately got his way, and a concert date was set, March 11, 1829. This was almost 100 years now since the neglected music had last been performed, and Felix himself would conduct. Well, everyone in Berlin who was anyone was there, including the king and his entire court. And the standing room only audience listened spellbound as the towering strains, preserved for 100 years on wrapping paper, poured forth. The evening was a staggering success. Young Felix had risked everything. He, Mendelssohn, a Jew, had jeopardized his own future in order to promote a long-forgotten Christian oratorio, which now is often hailed as the greatest of all Christian oratorios, the St. Matthew Passion, and the arithmetical, unintelligible composer, resurrected from the grave, permanently repopularized by a talented teenager, Felix Mendelssohn's discovery was Johann Sebastian Bach. And now you know the rest of the story.